Good to be in church. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 139 in your hymn book. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. I had no peace within till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet. Yes, there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides. With me everywhere. Spirit has control. Yes, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, oh hallelujah, He abides with me. Why don't you shake hands with your neighbor, greet one another?
I'm sure glad He abides with me. I'm glad that He came looking for me. I'm glad He sent a prophet to tell me, you never looked for Him. It was He looking for you. All those years we thought, oh, I'm seeking God. No, you weren't. You couldn't seek God unless He called you. Isn't that wonderful? And then He took it right back and proved it to us in the Word. So this morning, what a beautiful day. I was thinking earlier how we've had the storms and the rains and the winds and so on and so forth, just exactly like we go through life. We have battles and trials and tests and temptations and problems and failures and so forth going on. But you know, I think it was my wife said something about the sun not shining the other day, and I said, above those clouds, the sun is shining. So above all the trials, above all the tests, above all the temptations, above all the failures, above everything that goes on, the S-O-N is shining. So I like that. And especially when you've got Him right here, He's shining. The problem is sometimes we forget He abides. We can just turn it over to Him. I'm working on my lawnmower. Told Brother Lee this morning, I got it fixed. Been working on it for several days, different things, because you have to take so many parts off of it to get to one thing. And oh boy, tried my patience, believe me. Tired and hot and sweaty and frustrated. But you know what? The devil never did get me down. I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? He abides. Now, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I fall down just like anybody else. But He abides, and I get up and go on. So this morning, since we have Him abiding with us, we know that we can take our requests to Him, take our cares to Him, our problems to Him, and just give them to Him. And if we can just leave them with Him and not pick them up again, how much better off we would be if we can learn that. But we have some requests this morning. Let's remember the pastor while they're on vacation and traveling, wherever and whatever they're doing. I just trust the Lord is with them, and I know He is, but I want Him to be with them and help them. Brother Yarbrough is traveling home. He and Brother Eddie Mata, they went up in the northeast somewhere. Brother Eddie wanted to take some bike ride, but he called me this morning and said they were traveling home. They'll be in about 10 o'clock tonight, so they've got a long day. Somebody had pointed out to me, I didn't hear it myself, but one of the brothers asked me, in fact, it was Brother Jackson, on the VGR site. They've got a prayer request on there for the believers and the pastor. In Iran, apparently they're beating the people and they're really persecuting them terribly if they're a Christian at all. They're beating them, putting them in jail. Let's remember our brothers and sisters in these oppressed countries, especially the Muslim countries, and not just there, but there's communistic countries that do the same thing. If you realize how free we are to be able to walk in here freely without fear of being arrested or persecuted, and somebody may laugh about them holy rollers and you sisters with your long hair and your dresses and all of this, that's all right. That's nothing compared to what some people in these other countries are going through. So earnestly pray for our brothers and sisters in the other countries when you pray. Brother David Andes has a special unspoken request he'd like all of us to join with him in and pray about. Have one here from, says, please pray for Linda Miller. She had a heart attack yesterday and is in the ICU. And I think this one was from, it doesn't matter who it's from. I can't remember now. I think it was Sister Anna. My cousin Teresa Reese has been battling cancer for a year. She's been in very high spirits and has been claiming her healing the entire time. She has taken a turn for the worse the last couple of weeks, and the doctors don't give her much hope. Said, please continue to pray for her and her family. Heart attacks and cancers and persecutions. We have, many people have to go through these things, but we know where our victory is. So I've asked Brother Bird if he would come this morning and lead us in prayer over these requests. So put your faith with his, that God will hear and answer all of our requests, because he said he would. We're his children, and he said he would hear us and he would answer us.
Praise the Lord. I like what Brother Layton said, that we did not seek him, but the psalmist did say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. But that sounds paradoxical, but there's a little verse that I've quoted to you before that explains that. And it says, I sought the Lord. I'm sorry. I sought the Lord, and afterward I could see. Thanks, Jeremy. And afterwards I could see that he moved my heart to seek him, seeking me. So sometimes it sounds like things are contradicting. Sounds like Brother Branham was contradicting the word, but when you look at it through bride's point of view, it makes perfect sense. Amen. I'm just want to say that I'm glad that out of 7 or 8 billion people, that God chose us. This little group here, we're a segment of the body of Christ all around the world. It's a great privilege that you woke up this morning with the desire to come to church. We're to all be honest. We would have rather hugged the pillow for a while longer. But that desire that God put down in our hearts outweighs what our flesh would like to do. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Let's bow our hearts and speak to Him. Precious Lord, we're so grateful that we can come and talk to the ruler of the universe, King of all heaven and earth, yet you've chosen to be the lover of our souls, and how grateful we are for that. Lord, I won't mention the prayer request again, but we ask you, Lord, we're joining our hearts and minds together to ask you to help those who are in need. Lord, there are probably people here today who have more than physical needs. Spiritual needs, very important also. There's someone here maybe that needs to be drawn closer to you. Someone who needs to wake up to who they are and take their inheritance that the Father has for them. Lord, we love you today, and I don't get tired of saying that the only reason that we love you is because you loved us first. So thankful for that, and I pray your blessing on this dear group of people. And we would especially ask you to be with Brother Nathan and his family and give them a good time of rest and relaxation. And I pray, Lord, that you would honor your word once again as it comes forth this morning. Help us to be lifted up above the cares of this world, the things that would draw our attention away from you, Lord. I pray that the little bride would be drawn at least one step closer to you ere this service is over today. Fill our hearts with love one for another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Give us wisdom, Lord, to know what to do. Solomon could have asked for anything, and he simply said, Lord, let me know right from wrong. That's our prayer today, Lord. This is the most deceptive age that we've ever lived in. And I pray, dear God, that you let us follow in your footsteps. We know we won't go wrong there, and we ask these things in the lovely name of the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen.
I did forget to mention Brother Trevor will be speaking this morning, so you whisper a little prayer in your heart. The Lord knows what's on our hearts, and pray for him that God will use him in a mighty way. We're going to be reading the 44th chapter, the first 13th verse. Told you, Brenda, I was going to be in trouble. I was stumbling over my words at home. So we're going to be reading the first 13 verses of the 44th chapter of the book of Psalm this morning. To bring things in a balance, especially for the younger ones, in case you get a little confused with what I said and what Brother Bird said. We're not saying anything different. As you're a sinner, you're not seeking God, he's seeking you. But once he's got you, then you're seeking God. You want his favor, you want his blessings, you want his grace, you want his help. That's when you seek God. After you have him, then you go to prayer to seek the face of God, to seek when I'm in the time of trouble, did I seek my Lord, and so forth. See, so there's a balance. But as a sinner, you weren't seeking God, he was seeking you. When he's got you, then you go to him for all your needs. All right, 44th chapter, first 13 verses. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast favor unto them.
Thou art my king, O God, and
through thee will we push down our enemies, through thy name will we tread them under that arise up against us. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. Amen. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies.
Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil themselves.
Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and has scattered us among the heathen.
Thou hast
Thou makest us a reproach unto our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
The brothers would please come at this time. This is 392 in your hymn book.
For a long time I traveled down the long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad. Bring me. said, I surrender the ladder, my Lord. The more that I release my cares, the more He takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more You take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more You lift me up. Oh, every day I live, Lord, I love You.
Let's stand and sing it one more time. As Brother Trevor prepares to come.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Is that your desire?
Lord, pure and holy, tried and true. And it's when thanks.
Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is our heart's desire to become a sanctuary for You, that You would be pleased, Father, to dwell in, Lord God. Lord, how we want to just rid ourselves of the things of the world, to rid ourselves of anything that's unholy, ungodly, unloving, that we could be the built-up stature of a perfect man, Lord, that You would be dwelling on the inside of us, Lord, empowering us to bring glory and praise to Your name, to fulfill the purpose that You've placed within us, O God. Lord, we bow our hearts before You that You would come and fill us this morning, that You would, Lord, receive the sacrifice of our praise, Lord, and be with us and among us, Lord God. Use us this morning, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. We'll read my scripture in a moment. Not so that I can take 30 minutes before reading my scripture like Brother Hoover, but because I don't want to give my topic away yet. And musicians, thank you. Brother Anthony and I have something in common today. Now, some of you were noticing that I had a little beard going on for a few weeks there, and Anthony's had one for a few decades. And but we're both clean shaven this morning. I want to ask a question this morning. Maybe just think of this as a couple minutes of Sunday school. But think about your life for just a little bit. And what are the things in your life that bring you joy? What are the things in life that bring you joy? Now, don't give me the right answers. Give me what comes to your mind right now. What just popped in your mind? What brings you joy? Christy? Stephanie? See, that's what I expected Christy was going to say. Not because I'm a prophet or anything, but because, I mean, look at our beautiful children. Yeah, Emmeline's like me. Emmeline, what brings you joy? What? Toby and Krita, the kitties, bring her joy. Brother Josh, what brings you joy? Jesus? Good. That's the right answer. But if that was the first thing that popped in your mind, then praise God. So, Brother Daniel. Family, okay. Japheth? He walked in a little late. running down. The question is, what the first thing that pops into your mind that brings you joy? What are the things, and that's what you should, everybody should, yeah, listen to everybody else's answers, fine, but what was that first thing that popped in your mind? And I want you to be real honest with yourself. What was that first thing that popped in your mind that brings you joy? Kids. Man, we have got a lot of good kids in this church. That's great. That's great. Brother Canwell? What?
Money.
God bless you, my brother. At least he was honest. See, I love that. That's perfect. And I'd agree with you. Makes me pretty happy when somebody gives me money. So what's the first thing that brings you joy? I don't need to go through and get everybody's answers, but just be thinking about that as we go through this morning, because this morning I want to talk about God, my exceeding joy. God, my exceeding joy. Now, if you would stand, and we'll read our scripture. Turn to Psalm chapter 43. And I had this on my heart, and then we read this one last week. And I thought, oh, very nice. Yes, that one's going into my notes. Psalm chapter 43 and verse 4. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And let's just bow our heads again. Heavenly Father, bless your word and bless this service. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. So, God, my exceeding joy. Now you know why I didn't want to read my scripture first, because I didn't want to give you all the right answer. That God should be our exceeding joy. And I want to preface this with something. Because although I feel fairly comfortable right now, the prospect of preaching here, and maybe this would surprise some of you, but this is one of the hardest places that I feel. It's hardest for me to preach here. And you would say, why? We're all your friends. We love you. Yeah, I know, but I also am very close to many of you. And for me to preach, maybe if things got a little difficult, or maybe I start meddling in your lives a little bit. And, well, what if we had a conversation about that particular thing 2 days ago, and you're thinking, you're just preaching on that because we just talked about it the other day. Or because you were in my home, and you saw this, so you just got your righteous indignation up, and you're picking on me. And like, so if you start feeling that this morning, and I don't think it'll be that hard, but if you start feeling that this morning, just understand that it's not me. It's really not me trying to pick on you or trying to have my personal vendetta against the things that you don't like, you know, or the things that you're doing in your life that I don't think you should do. Trust me, there are things. Okay? There are, you know, and you probably have them about me. And that's fine, because we're humans and we do those kinds of things. But I just try to let the Spirit of God come out and let him do the speaking. So I would hope that we're good enough friends that if the Spirit of God starts using this gift and starts speaking to something, and you're starting to think, like, that's really personal? Because I'll be honest, one of the last times that I was here, I held back from saying something because I had just had a conversation with a brother, and it almost kills me that I held that back and bit my tongue and didn't say that so that I didn't offend that brother. And I just, like, no, I'm never going to do that again. So this is my preface to say that, look, if we just talked about something and I hit on that and I can't think of anything I'm going to talk about that I just talked about somebody with, but if you start thinking that, it's just the Spirit of God and it's not really me trying to pick on you. Amen. So that you can be blessed by what I'm going to say and not get all carnal. So if you're carnally thinking, like, oh yeah, he's just saying that so he can pick on stuff, like, you've already missed it. And I don't want you to do that. So this is my preface to say, let's get in the Spirit of God and understand that this isn't just me, your friend, it is, but it's also the Spirit of God that's going to come and work in our midst this morning, okay? So we're talking about God, our exceeding joy. God, my exceeding joy. And this is David talking to us, or this is David just talking to God, and this is one of his prayers, and he's saying, God, you're my exceeding joy. And of course, we're going to look at that, and we could all confess that, again, that's the right answer. What kinds of things bring you joy? And the right answer is God. God should be that thing that gives us joy. And even David is professing to God, God, you're my exceeding joy. You're my great joy. But yet we find that David found sometimes joy in other things. Even times things that he should not have found joy in, he found joy in. But he also could confess that God was his exceeding joy. And there's some times when we know the right answer. And when we're telling God, God, you are the greatest thing ever. And we truly mean it from our hearts. But yet sometimes there's a disparity between what we mean in our hearts when we're writing down our prayers like David. Or when we're praying our prayers on our knees. And what we're actually doing. And that's what I want to challenge us this morning to look at. Is to look good in the mirror and say, if I profess that God is my exceeding joy. And look. Every single one of us, we wake up in the morning and we want to be happy, right? Every single one of us wakes up in the morning wanting to pursue joy. Anybody here wake up in the morning wanting to pursue depression? I just wish I could be more depressed. Every day when I wake up, my intention is to do things that would... No, every one of us, there's something that God put in us. You see, it's our inheritance is joy. The inheritance of the believer is joy. Now we're going to, I'll read that scripture in a little bit. But so Brother Branham says in The Message, planting the vine and where to plant it. That's what's the matter with our nation. What's the matter with our churches? Are we in a church this morning? So that's what's the matter with our churches. They have no joy. The joy of the Lord has departed. As was written one time in scripture, the Hebrew word Ichabod, which means the presence of the Lord hath departed. That's over our churches because that we left off the original foundation and placed ourselves into creeds and denomination and permitted the things of the world to dry up our experience with God. People don't believe in shouting. The thing of it is, they haven't got spiritual joy. The joys of the waters of life can flow through. That's a whole lot of what's the matter with the Branham Tabernacle, because that unbelief, the cares of the world, had bound the people until it cannot produce spiritual growth. So he's saying they haven't got spiritual joy. He's giving the reason, and it's because of unbelief and the cares of the world have bound the people. He has tied those two things together. Joy is the antithesis, or it's the opposite of the cares of the world. But many times we go looking for joy in the cares of the world. Right? Are we together this morning? He says redemption and completeness and joy. They was out here and they had a pillar of fire around them. We got it tonight. They was out there where they had joy in the camp. Shouting. Miracles being performed and everything. And then complaining about it. And that's the reason the water dried up. That's the reason they didn't have nothing to eat or drink, because they were murmuring. That's what's the matter with the churches around Louisville tonight. Murmuring, complaining. Mercy, get back in the harness. Yes, sir. Say, who is this guy Moses? Why do we listen to this holy roller preacher anyhow? What are we doing out here? And the water supply dried up. You see, if you're murmuring, if you're complaining, What do you not have? Joy. You said they were missing joy. They lost joy. They started looking, and sometimes, and I'm not saying totally, but sometimes, you know, we can choose the right emotions many times. I don't believe joy is fully a choice, but there are times when you can choose, I am going to look at the joyful side of things. I am not going to choose, look, things might be hard, but I'm going to praise God anyhow. And guess what you find? You find the water starting to come back. But if you start saying, well, we're following a prophet, but we don't have water, but we don't have food, guess where the water and food are going to go? They're going to go because your testimony is going to come and be fulfilled. And so let's keep that praise and that joy in our hearts because God has given us everything. God is, and Brother Layton and I were just talking about it a bit this morning as we were talking about Africa and India and different places and you know how kids these days feel so entitled and they deserve all of these things. And it's like, look, do you study history for just 2 seconds and realize that if you're living in 2018 in the United States, you are some of the most blessed people out of the entire history of the world. Because not only is there suffering in Africa and India and places like that, and they have a much lower of a standard of living, but if you start thinking about the 1,000 years of dark ages and the standard of living that people must have had back then, boy, are we blessed this morning. We're so blessed. But yet, so if we think about that and take a 10,000-foot view and go, wow, I am super blessed. One of the most blessed people ever in the world, ever. And yet I can complain and murmur, and we come to a place where we have a problem in our churches that there's no joy. Now, I don't get ahead of myself. Let me try to stay on target here. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? This is God speaking to Job. After Job had been kind of complaining and saying, God, I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything. Why is this happening? And God says, stand up, let me talk to you for a minute. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You see, our inheritance is joy. We came from joy. We were shouting before we ever set foot on this earth. We were somewhere back with God and we were shouting for joy. There was joy in our hearts. And if that little seed, that little kernel of God is come and now placed on the inside of you from before the foundation of the world and you come manifested into this earth, but you still have that seed of eternal life on the inside of you, that seed was manifesting. And that seed was there before the foundations of the earth shouting for joy. So what you should have in that little piece on the inside of you, now it's come out of eternity. It's going to step back to eternity. But right now, do you think it's any different than it was then? No, there's a kernel of joy that ought to be on the inside of every heart of the people here. Every single one of us should have that joy of the Lord inside. Brother Branham says, our Savior came here to the earth, God himself, and made himself manifested to us, give us the hope of everlasting life, eternal life, and also in there promised us joy and happiness and contentment, which is the earnest of our salvation that we have now as a golden inheritance. What's the earnest of our salvation? He just says right here, joy, happiness, and contentment. You see, there's a time when we're going to come to the full manifestation of our salvation. We're going to come and we are truly going to be entering into the joys of the Lord. We're going to be there with him. There's going to be a rapture. Then our salvation won't be in earnest anymore, but it'll be totally manifested. Are we together? We understand this more. Okay, so until that point, we have an earnest that God has given us of our salvation, and that is joy, happiness, and contentment. And, you know, contentment's part of joy. Because if, you know, you have all kinds of things that, you know, could make you joyous and there's that one thing that you don't have and you're not content about it and you wish you had it, and then that murmuring and complaining starts coming back. You see, we have joy, happiness, and contentment in Christ. We've always had it. He's given it back to us. When he redeemed us on the cross and he gave us this salvation, he gave us joy, happiness, and contentment. Amen. We ought to be so happy. Amen? Amen? You're like, Brother Trevor, you sound like you're yelling at us. Get joy, people! It's not so effective. Maybe you should smile when you're telling the people they need joy. Amen. Oh, you know, we go back into history, you know, back in the day, Nathan and I hanging out and things like that, and he always says, you know, we were texting the other day about these things, and, you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to preach on this a little bit, but, you know, it's kind of, you need God, you know, colon joy, because we always used to talk about how all my sermons were basically some form of you need God, and how, you know, Brother Trevor would just walk around, you know, like, you need God! Well, guilty. Amen. So I said, well, this will be You Need God, Part 52, Joy. Psalm chapter 51. Let's turn there. This is a very familiar scripture to all of us. We sing a song with this. And I'm sorry I didn't take the time to do slides. I'm just happy I had the time to do notes. It's been a busy week. Psalm chapter 51, verses 8 through 13. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Did I just read that right? Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I'm not even going to preach there for a while. We'll just let that one lie there, and we can all just ponder that one today after the service. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, normally we would stop there. We're like, wow, yes, amen, God, yes, restore to me the joy, create that clean heart in me. Yes, 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 Lord, do all of those things. Then, verse 13, will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. Because when you have a clean heart, when you have the right spirit, and when you have the joy of your salvation, it changes you, doesn't it? And it makes you something that's really attractive, doesn't it? It makes it so that sinners are going, what's different about that guy? What's different about that girl? Why is it that they're so bubbly? Why is it that they're so happy? You know, there's so many things that are wrong in this world. You know, all of these things that, you know, everybody has outrage over on Twitter. You know, there's so many things that are wrong in this world, even though we're the blessed people, most blessed people ever. There's just bajillions of things wrong with the world if you look at the news and Twitter. But this guy has joy. And I don't understand why. Why? Because you've got the right spirit on the inside of you. You've got the joy of your salvation. And then will I teach transgressors thy ways. But if I'm walking around going, I'm a Christian. It's really hard. And our church is terrible. Sundays are awful. You're winning people to Christ. Just like crazy. I mean, just bring them in. Bring them in.
Bring them in.
Doesn't work, does it? And, you know, I was sitting there, you know, I mean, we've lived through some stressful times. And you all, I mean, we're all here in Jeffersonville, and we all know what we're talking about. We've been in different churches, and we've had different hard times in different churches, and maybe you've had hard times in this church, you know. And our pastor's preached, you know, 52 sermons, and 52 is just my number. That means a lot. I don't know the exact number on spiritual abuse, and there's a reason he's preached on spiritual abuse, because we've had people, you know, we've all probably gone through some form of spiritual abuse at some point in our lives, you know. And there were hard times that I would have in the past. And I recognized I was at work on a Monday morning, and I was not happy. I was stressed. I was tired. I was confused. And I'm sitting there going, I know I need to win souls to Jesus Christ. And there were two people at work that I was really working on, trying to, you know, be a light and trying to share the word of God with them, you know. And I recognized, you know what? I'm going to have to change something. Or why would they want to be like me? Why would they want to show up at work on a Monday morning like I show up at work on a Monday morning? Something is wrong. Now, you could say, well, blame the church, blame this, blame that. Well, I mean, yeah, I could, but I'm still very, very blessed. And whatever church I was in, I was hearing the word of God. Whatever church I was in, I was praising the name of God. And we were singing the songs of Zion. You see, whatever church that you were in, and maybe you were going through some abuse, but you were still some of the most blessed people on the face of this earth. Because even through all the abuse, there was still the message of the hour that was coming forth from whatever pulpit it was. And there was so much cause for joy. And I want to tell you, we've got so much cause for joy today. We're in this church, and look, we love one another. Are there little issues and sometimes little social problems? Yeah, there's these things, but we're so blessed, so very blessed that we can come to a place that allows an open worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that preaches the message of the hour, that plays the tapes, that we can hear it, we can be here, and we can grow. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And Monday morning, we ought to be showing up at work going, praise God. And if we're not, I ask you, why aren't you? What's the problem? Where's the thing laying? Because it's probably not the church. But you got to look in the mirror. Well, now, I mean, it's wonderful when the church helps. And it's wonderful when Sunday night service is the most amazing thing that ever happened to your life. And it's super easy on that Monday morning to come in and going, man, 3 people were raised from the dead. 1 guy that didn't have legs has legs now. And I mean, like, our church is amazing and I love life. You know? But there are times when that doesn't happen. There are times when Brother Nathan preaches on something that you just didn't even care about. And you're like, why did I sit there for an hour and a half? Why did he go so long? I mean, and then we couldn't get kids to bed and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm tired and I didn't get up at 6 and I didn't work out and I'm fat and I'm lazy and I'm stupid and I just hate life. I really should filter more of these things that I say. Because that's how I show up to work on Sunday morning sometimes. Not necessarily all that part about Nathan preaching. Woo, gonna get in trouble. But you understand what I'm saying, and we've all been there, and we're just being, you know, I'm just being honest, and that's what I'm saying, like, look inside, start taking the mirror and going, where is that in my life? And do I have the joy that I ought to have? Am I looking and understanding that God, my God, you are my exceeding joy? Because if you're saying, church, my church, you are my exceeding joy, you're going to have problems. If you're saying, you know, family life, my family life, you are my exceeding joy, you're going to have problems. So what we have to start doing is looking at where is truly the source of the joy in our lives. What are we really connecting it to? Because we know in our minds God ought to be our exceeding joy. But what I want to ask you is it really? And you say, some days it is, some days it isn't. Amen. I'm there too. And maybe you would say, yeah, boy, you're really stinging me hard. I'd say, well, it's the Spirit of the Lord, not Trevor. You know? Okay. Praise God. We're together. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is why we can teach transgressors his ways. When this joy of the Lord is restored to us, we have strength. We have strength that we can teach transgressors his ways. We have strength that we can, sinners can be converted unto him. And you know what? That isn't this the point? You know, if we look at what is the point of life, what is the point of everything that we're doing? It's to bring glory and honor to God. You are put here for a purpose, to fellowship with God, to worship God, and to bring him glory. Amen? We're here. He wants glory. He deserves glory. Anybody else in the earth that you would point to and say, that guy just wants glory. What do we think about him? We think arrogant, prideful, jerk. But you know what? God wants glory. And none of us think arrogant, prideful, jerk. Perish the thought. Why? Because he is worthy of it. It's not arrogant for God to say, I want glory, because he's worthy of it. And no one else is worthy of it but him. That's our purpose. And And if bringing sinners to God brings Him glory, then what should your life be doing? Bringing Him glory. And if it takes joy to get sinners to God, and the joy of your Lord is your strength, what do you need to bring God glory? There's other ways to bring God glory. Okay, I'm not just specifically, but this is the thing we're talking about. So what do we need? Joy. We need joy in our lives. Not only that, but every single one of you told me already, I wake up in the morning and I want joy. Let's go get it then. It's our strength. It's everything we have. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. After this, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what was Jesus preaching? What was the gospel of the kingdom of God? When Jesus is on earth and he's saying, he's preaching the gospel. You know, we preach the gospel and we say Jesus came and died. When Jesus was on the earth preaching the gospel, he wasn't saying Jesus came and died. What was he saying? What was he preaching? He was preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was telling the Jews, the thing you've been looking for is here. The thing that you, now they didn't understand it necessarily, but the thing that you're looking for is here. The good news. That's what gospel means, good news. He was preaching the good news. He was saying, the wonderful thing you've been expecting is here. So you have reason to rejoice. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he was saying, the joyful thing you're looking for is here. So what should you do? You should repent. You should turn from anything that isn't this, because this is the joyful thing and it's here. So all these other things that you've been doing that have been taking your time and getting away, no, this is the joyful thing. Repent, come to this, come to this, come to this. And that's where we are. Look, 1 John, go ahead and turn here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. The ultimate joy of the Jews was the hope of the Messiah. And he's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Your joy is here. So repent. You want joy? Is there anything in its way? If there is, hey, I'm just going to be here just like Jesus. I'm going to say, the good news, the gospel, the time is at hand. The thing you want, joy in your life is here. So repent and just come right here. Joy. Come take. It's wonderful. It's great. I want you to have it. You want to have it. So what doth hinder? All right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. If our hearts condemn us not, then anybody feel condemnation in their lives and extreme joy at the same time? Nope. Doesn't happen, does it? But yet sometimes we pursue things that put condemnation in our lives, wanting joy. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the things we pursue that we think is going to bring us joy, but it brings condemnation in our lives. And we know it. We know it before we start. That thing is wrong and it's going to condemn me, but I want it to make me happy. And we do that. And then our hearts are condemned. And then we have no confidence towards God. Amen? We can't pray. We probably start complaining. Why? Because the waters are starting to dry up. Because if you don't read your Bible and pray every day, what happens? We'll get the Sunday school kids up here if we need to. Read your Bible and pray every day. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible and pray every day. And you'll shrink. Shrink, shrink. But yet still we pursue things that don't produce joy and actually produce condemnation in our lives. And we need to just take a look in the mirror and go, am I a Christian? Do I want joy? Do I want this, you know, am I living below my privileges? Am I doing things that I think is great, but I really need to just take a hard look and say, am I a believer or not? Am I going to do this or not? Do I want everything that God has for me or not? Because it's there and I can go get it if I repent from those things that are keeping me from it. That's all there is to it. The decision is just there before you. Do you want joy or not? Do you want joy? Do you want joy? Then go get it, church. And guess what? When we have joy, we're going to find strength in this church. More strength than we ever thought possible. And three people are going to be raised from the dead. And the guy without legs is going to have legs. And these things will happen. Why? Because it's a joyous church without spot or wrinkle. Amen? Glory to God. That's what I want to see in my life. So let's look. What really is joy then? Let's talk about it. Maybe you're sitting there and we'll look at David's life here. And what really is joy? Let me read a quote to you. Brother Branham from What Does It Take to Make a Christian Life. He's talking about being in the Garden of Eden. He says, I can hear the loving voice of the Father say, children, have you enjoyed yourself today? Papa has come down to kiss you goodnight and lay you down for the night. And kiss upon the cheek of Adam and a kiss upon the cheek of Eve. And as he lays his big arm out and she lays her head, her little dainty head upon his arm as a pillow, they went to sleep and perfect, nothing can bother them. Father's watching over them. There's nothing in the earth to harm them. Leo the lion lays here and Sheeta the tiger lays there and he laid them all down. Father, if that isn't wonderful. Just imagine Adam and Eve there, perfect, in the Garden of Eden, the presence of God coming down and having fellowship with them in the evenings, every evening. And you think about the most blessed church service that we've had here, and you think about how wonderful you felt and how great it was, how the amazing atmosphere of God, and you think, God, like when that comes and that happens, like every fear, every doubt gets washed away. I'm not worried about anything. I'm just content to sit in your presence. And it's great. And Lord, I just want so much more of that. Well, you can have so much more of that. But that's what Adam and Eve had every evening. And they could walk around and pet the tigers and pet the lions. And, you know, we pay money for that these days. You know, they just could do it whenever they wanted. You know, and then we're kind of worried too. It's like, it's not going to bite me, right? Like, I've seen those YouTube videos. You know. I didn't see the alligator one recently, or shark. Somebody was feeding an alligator or shark, and I'm assuming that they lost a hand or something like that. Look, Adam and Eve didn't have that. Everything was perfect. Everything was wonderful. They had the presence of God every evening. The green grass was luscious. The fruit tasted, not the right, you know, the wrong tree we've been talking about, you know, but like actual fruit trees, you know, the apples that I told Brother Nathan, I said, boy, your apple crunching impersonation was spot on, brother. You had that one like done, you know. But you could go to the mango tree and take a mango and it tasted amazing. Whatever they wanted, it was right there in front of them. And did I mention they had the presence of God with them every evening? I'm not sure I covered that. Yeah. Amazed, like this is joy. This is true, pure joy. There's no worry. There's no cares. There's no anything negative that you could ever think of. Everything's absolutely perfect. They're just like, wow, this is so great. This is so amazing. I love life. I love God. These animals are so great. And they're just, you know, hey, you want to go? Let's go swimming. Let's go, you know, swing from ropes. Let's, whatever we want to do, we just do. We have a great time. It's wonderful. And did I mention the presence of God was there? Amen? Pure joy. Real joy. Real, absolute joy that they had every day when they woke up. Why? Because everything was holy. Everything was wonderful. Everything was good. So maybe we should look for that in our own lives. Maybe we should try to create that in our own homes. Little patches of Eden where the presence of God comes down at night during devotions. And, you know, I can do better at that. Amen. Where everything is safe. Nothing's negative. Everything's wonderful. I can't help you with the tigers and the lions that you want to pet in your own homes. I actually recommend against that for right now, but you understand the atmosphere that we can create in our homes to make it like Eden as much as possible. Amen? Amen. The presence of God coming down. Children, have you enjoyed yourself today? This is joy, friends. This is joy. And I don't care what you can find in life and the things of this world that this world produces, nothing will compare. Nothing will produce that kind of joy. You might forget about everything for an hour and a half or 2 hours or five or whatever. But it doesn't compare with this. So David, the reason, you know, we read this scripture, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Well, why does David have to write this? Same author, by the way, as who wrote Psalm 43, verse 4, O God, my exceeding joy, is then writing, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, at one point, God was his joy, and then at some point in his life, something happened, and he lost that joy. He lost that joy. That joy can be lost by things that you're doing in your life. You see, you can restrict the flow of joy coming into your life. I sounded exactly like Joel Osteen, but if he said that, it would have been true. But as I said that, I was like, holy cow, that's just terrible. But it's not terrible because it's absolutely the truth. Sin in your life is going to get in the way of the joy of the Lord. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. So what was that? David, one day, he goes up to the roof. And he sees Bathsheba. And he decides, hey, that would bring me joy if I was with her. Except for it wasn't really real because in reality he had all kinds of other wives. And that was somebody else's wife. So he imagines this unreal thing and decides that's going to bring him joy. And I want to tell you that that is what the world is presenting before you. That's what the devil is presenting before you. The things of this world are things that are not real. And it says, hey, this would be great. This will be joy. Never mind the fact that it's not real, but this will be great and this will bring you joy, but it doesn't. And if we really truly start to understand that God is our exceeding great joy, the presence of God in the Garden of Eden was the most joyful thing ever, and that's what we want. That's truly joy. If I can, I pray to God that I can convince you of that this morning. Yes. You should already know it, but hopefully this will help. Now, but you say, now, let's just be honest, and if we're talking about real joy, and we want to understand that, you know, you could say, well, that joy you're talking about, Brother Trevor, that's just emotion. That's just, you know, it's not really real. You know, that's not, I mean, that's just something you're trying to work yourself up into. And, I mean, look, Brother Trevor, you're up there preaching to us, trying to convince us that we should have this kind of joy and not some other kind of joy. So I think you're trying too hard, Brother Trevor, because there are things that are fun, and I have a lot of joy out of them. Okay, that's fine. And maybe you would say David could have had the same argument, that he realized that God wasn't his exceeding joy and that really Bathsheba was, because let's be honest, Bathsheba could be touched. There was something tangible there, wasn't there? And maybe you'd say, those are the kinds of things that bring me joy. So how many of the kids, you know, when I said, what's that thing in your life that brings you joy? I mean, how many of you said ice cream? Yeah, we got one. Praise God. I knew there'd be one. Why? You know, if I gave you an ice cream cone, would that make you happy? Everybody in here, if I had, you know, Brother Layton, go downstairs and get the ice cream cones. There's no donuts today, but we've got ice cream cones. Everybody's smiling, obviously. Ice cream's going to make you happy, but what if I didn't? People's faces are falling. Is ice cream the source of your happiness? You say, but Brother Trevor, I can take ice cream and I can lick and there's chocolate chunks and I can chew and it tastes good and there's a physical reality to it and that brings joy. Okay? Maybe you have an argument there. But is that true? And is that really something that you want? Because what happens when the ice cream cone is gone? Do you have joy or don't you? What happens if I don't bring you an ice cream cone? Do you have joy or don't you? So then you realize that if ice cream cones produce joy, how much effort do you have to go through to continually produce ice cream cones in your life so that you can continue to have joy in your life? And at some point in time, you're going to get sick and tired of the rat race of trying to get ice cream cones. Now, you can replace that with anything you want to replace that with, including that money, Brother Kenwell. whatever it is in your life, whatever that joy thing you're chasing, you know, that perfect purse, that perfect, field goal, that perfect touchdown, that perfect epic ending to the game, that perfect season, that perfect whatever it is, that many times it's not even something that you're chasing, that you're just hoping other people will chase that and that you can receive the residual joy from what they did right. That's what we call sports. But what if they don't? Do you not have joy? And so, truly, at some point in time, do ice cream cones then bring joy? Do the physical realities, is what we would say, actually bring joy? They don't. Because the pursuit of them causes you problems. Obtaining those things doesn't bring you joy. The process of obtaining those things. You say, I have joy now that I have my ice cream cone, but the process of obtaining it isn't bringing you joy. And eventually, the process gets to the point where it's more burdensome than the joy you're getting from the ice cream. But it's not so with Jesus Christ, because he already purchased the joy, and all that you have to do is get all the other things out of the way so that it can come in your life. You see what God does for us? Look, he even frees us from responsibility of sin so that we can just pursue him. You don't have to worry about your sin. Just repent. There you go. Don't have to atone for it. Don't have to drag yourself on your knees to Chicago. Don't have to sit in a little booth and tell everything to a priest. You get on your knees and you say, God, you know I'm a sinner. You know I'm junk. You know I'm dirty. You know I don't have any business even talking to you right now. But I know that your word says I'm forgiven. Done. End of story. We call that justification, as though you've never done it. Like I told the brothers in the parking lot, look, I don't have to repent for Googling in church. Because I've never done it. I'm free. I'm free from the condemnation of Googling something the pastor talks about in church. I'm free from all condemnation. Why? Because Christ paid for my joy. And now I don't even have to worry about it anymore. All I have to do is just say, God, I want to pursue after you because you bring joy. And look, that process is joyful. And it brings residuals. And it brings just blessings. And it gets better and better as you go. And you think, man, I love you. You think about how much you love Christ right now. Spend a year just diving into him. And look back to where you were the year before. And you go, I didn't even know him then. And now I know him so much better. And if you're not finding that in your life, you're not pursuing him. You're not going after him. Because truly, I admit, I used to sing, you know, sweeter as the days go by. And think, I know that's true. He gets sweeter every day. I know that's true. But honestly, tomorrow am I going to look and go, God, you are sweeter to me today than you were yesterday? Now, is that going to be a platitude when I say it? Or is that going to be truth? And if it's not truth, what have I been doing with my life? Chasing after some other kind of joy. Because I tell you every day you get up and you chase after joy. You're going to do it anyway. Why not chase the thing that actually brings joy? Amen. Boy, I have no idea how long I'm preaching. But I know I better hurry up. So is the joy of the Lord merely psychology? Is ice cream cones and David's Bathsheba tangible happiness? Tangible joy? How about Easter? What gives you joy about Easter? Now, someone in this room is thinking Starburst jelly beans. And if there's, I mean, seriously, have you had Starburst jelly beans? I'm not talking regular jelly beans, but the Starburst jelly beans, joy-producing elements. No, not really, because that would contradict everything I'm preaching about. But I tell you what, I enjoy them until that next morning at 6 a.m. when I know I need to get on that elliptical because I ate too many Starburst jelly beans. Man, physical joys are such a pain. look, if jelly beans and Easter baskets and Easter bunnies are what make Easter a great thing to you, you've got something really wrong in your life. Because Easter, Christmas, that's why Brother Branham says Christmas should be a worship. And I'm not even going to preach against Christmas trees right now. But Christmas should be a worship. Why? Because of joy. Because of an exceeding great joy that God is. Because let's talk about Christmas for just a minute. The angels come down to the shepherds and say, what is it? He comes and he brings exceeding great joy. Wow, that's truly what Christmas is about. It's not about presents. It's not about all these things. You know, you think Christmas is the most joyful bringing holiday ever. Everybody gets happy around Christmas time unless they're fighting over the toy at Target. But everybody else is happy at Christmas time and they have joy. And then it's gone a couple of weeks later. Why? Because they didn't attach the exceeding great joy that this holiday is truly about. But they went for the tangible thing because that's more real. Right? Except for it's not. It's not. I was reminded as I was studying for this, I was looking through my notebook and I remembered Brother Danny from back in July. He talked about how kids these days were trapped. They were trapped in depression and discouragement by the environment that they're in. Well, what environment are your kids in the most? Your home. And let's just talk about the things that maybe we allow into our homes. And are they producing joy in our homes? How many want joy in your home? Amen. How many want your kids to be like think our home is the coolest place ever? You know where that comes from? Joy. Joy. Not all the stuff that might be in it. But it comes, is joy there? Is joy in that home? You could go to the greatest home and have all the stuff, and if there's fighting, if there's, you know, like, whoa, I don't want to go to that home. Why? Because joy is the greatest thing. So let's get joy in our homes. Let's get joy in our church. But let's if we're talking about real and we're talking about, you know, these tangible things or, you know, what the world produces as giving us joy. And you want to say, those are the real things and those are the things I want. I want to get joy in those means because they're real and tangible. Let's just talk about that for a minute. Because the magazines that we have today that tell women how to be happy and how to live successful lives and how to be amazing looking and all of these things, are they real? Like, are you getting a real depiction of the person on the cover? No. You're getting a photoshopped version. Like, here's how to be happy. Look like this person. That person doesn't look like that person. That person gets depressed when they see that magazine. I don't look. They. This is me on the cover. That's so amazing. Oh, look at me. And then they look at the mirror and they go, this is such a beautiful mirror. And they get depressed because they don't look like that. I don't know if that's ever happened, but I bet it has. Why? Because that's not real. Let's talk about the movies that we watch. Is it real? You know, you see part of the drama unfold and you go, oh, that's so wonderful. I wish my life could be like that. I wish that I could just, you know, trip walking across the street and that guy just happened to come by and pick me up out of the middle of the street. And then our eyes meet. And then like 2 minutes later, we have the most wonderful emotional connection. And then 2 minutes after that, we're living together. And things are just great in our homes until, you know, years later when we have to, 5 minutes later when they have to enter in some more conflict into the situation to make sure, you know, that's how these movies operate, right? But you see that part and you think, oh, if I could just have that, you know, that right fall, and then that guy come, and then our eyes meet, and things are wonderful like that happened to them. Why doesn't that happen to me? Because it's not real. It's not real. But yet you're trying to derive joy from this. But that's what Brother Danny was talking about. You're trapped in an environment of depression. And when these things are in our homes and they're being represented before us and before our children as things that this is the representation the world, the devil gives you that says this is how happiness happened to those people. And we're feeding on that, steeping ourselves in depression. Why? Because it's not real joy. And it's actually in the way of our joy. Amen? Oh my. I don't want to go too far here, but pornography. It's not real. It's not real. Not even close. Everything that the world tries to throw out there as real. They're trying to tell you this is real and this is joy. And the more you are like this, the happier you'll be. And we find we're living in a day when people are the most blessed people on the face of the earth out of all time. And yet we have all kinds of depression and medicines trying to keep people happy. Why? Because they've lost the source of joy. Because they ran after the tangible. And they never had that wake-up call like David did from Nathan the prophet. Praise God, we had a prophet come and give us a wake-up call. And David had a prophet come along and give him a wake-up call and said, David, you're wrong. That's not joy. And David got the message and said, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation because it's there for you. And if you've been steeped in those things and you've had the wrong kinds of things in front of you trying to produce joy, all you have to do is take the grace that God's giving you and say, God, I'm sorry. I'll repent and I'll choose you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Get me back on the track of bringing you glory again, God, so that sinners can come to this church. God, don't let me ever be in a place where my sins affect the people in this church and affect the joy and the freedom of this church and the believers around us. Amen? Yes. Nothing in this world would propagate as happiness and joy if you said, okay, don't Photoshop that. Don't enhance that. Don't make that better. Just let it be real. And are we gonna think it's joy and happiness? Oh, no. I mean, why do you think they have to change things and Photoshop and all of these things? Why? Because the real isn't enough for them. So the irony is you're chasing after those things thinking that's gonna be real joy because our premise here is what you're saying is that the joy of the Lord isn't real. So you're going to chase after things that have been altered, enhanced, and all kinds of other things so that you will have real joy, and that's not even real. Irony? That's a problem, isn't it? Okay, sorry, trying to move on. David loses sight of the real joys God has given him. And he goes after a woman who isn't real. She isn't really his wife. He wants to have a relationship with her that's a fake relationship. And it's not real. And it doesn't produce joy. It only produces the death of a child. And guess what? Do you think David was living in joy when that was happening? No, he was on his face before God saying, I'm sorry, and not even eating anything. Did that produce joy? That 30 minutes with Bathsheba, did that produce joy? No, it produced problems through the rest of his life. Oh, but it was real. Felt real. Felt wonderful. But it wasn't. But it wasn't. So what are the things in our life? And that's what I'm saying is you know, look, I get it. Like, I can't understand even the irony of what I'm saying right now is that I am telling you got to have joy, and you'd think I should be just like, yay, let's be joyful, and I'm saying, get this junk out. But it's God that's our exceeding joy. It's God that's our exceeding joy. After joy is restored, we can teach transgressors his ways. So what are we getting up in the morning, and what are we pursuing after? I want to read another story here before we close, Luke chapter 15. verses 8 through 10. This is the story Jesus is telling about the woman who had the crown of 10 coins, except for she lost a piece. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece that I had lost. Rejoice with me, I have found the piece that I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, let's think of the inverse really quick of when the angels don't have joy in the presence of God. Do you think that's anything we want a part of? And the angels are downcast in the presence of God because this happened. Ooh, I don't want that. That sounds not good. So when sinners are repenting and there's joy and we want to produce the things that bring the angels of God joy in the presence of God, yes, let that be me, Lord Jesus. How does this happen for this woman? She sees there's something wrong. She knows what's the inside, and what we understand about this is that if she's missing a piece, her husband's going to return and think that she's played the harlot on him. So she knows, however, that in her heart, you see, she's already gone through, like that last part we were just talking about, like she's gotten the things out of her life. She's a Christian. She's the right kind of woman. She's already taking care of the inside, but she recognizes there's something on the outside that is betraying the testimony that I feel on the inside as being right. So what does she do? She grabs a broom and she starts going through her house. Church of the Living God, do we want joy this morning? Then let's grab a broom and go through our house. And let's say, what? Where's that thing that's causing me not to have joy? Where is it? Get the candle out. Search every nook. Search every candy corner. Where is that thing? Where's the thing that's keeping me from the joy that the testimony that I know is right on the inside, but there's something not producing that on the outside? What's the thing? And she grabs the broom. She sweeps her house. She lights the candle. She looks and she seeks diligently. So I want to ask you, church, who's going to go home this afternoon and go through your house and seek diligently? Where's the thing that's not letting me have the joy that I ought to be experiencing in my heart? Where's the thing in my home that needs to be swept out of here that's causing my home not to be a home of joy, not to have the atmosphere and presence of Almighty God every evening in our home, not to allow the presence of God in our homes? My, is there something that's doing that in our homes that we've allowed? We're basically kicking him out because we've made him not welcome because something we put in our homes. Because why? We think it's going to give us joy. We think it's going to give us something that's going to make, you know, us happy for an hour and a half or 3 hours or, you know, come on. Let's take the mirror and go, am I a believer? Amen. Then apply the token to your home and kick the trash out. I mean, I just, you know, there's those scriptures where I just say, I call heaven and earth to witness. If you do that today, see if the joy of the Lord doesn't come flooding into your home. Produce the atmosphere that we know this message tells us to produce in our homes, and see if it doesn't produce joy unspeakable and full of glory in your home, and make your home the best place. You thought, you know, my marriage is great, my kids are great, I love how things are going, things have been better. Kick the trash out and see how much greater God even makes that in your life. This is real. This is real. But you can have it, church. We live below our privileges. We know that. We hear that quoted to us. We know, yes, amen, praise God, I live below my privileges. Mm-hmm. Pizza after church? Or are we going to do something about it? Or are we going to put this faith into action? Why? Because I just feel like kicking you all. God, you guys are a bunch of sinners in this church. I know it. No. Why? I want joy. I want you to have joy. Let's go get it, church. Let's get it. But let's stop talking about it. Let's stop thinking that we're believers, but let's just do it. And if I fail tomorrow, man, okay, today I start. Let's do it. And if I fail the next day, I'm going to do it. something in me produce that atmosphere in my home and in my life. I want the joy of God. God, restore to us the joy of our salvation in this church, in our lives, in our hearts. Let Jesus be the center of our attraction. You want it for your kids? You want your kids to experience the joy of the Lord? Well, then don't you want the joy of the Lord? Oh, I want so much for my children. I want to see them grow in the stature and admonition of God. And I want them to be just so much better than me. You know, that's great. But your kids will never get there. But let's just say, apart from the unbounding grace of Jesus Christ to you, your kids will get there better if you lead them. Brothers, lead your homes. Brothers, have devotions in your homes so that you can have joy in your home. Brothers, lead your homes in the Christian faith. Lead your homes in this message. Oh, Brother Trevor, I'm not so good at it. I'm just lead. Stand. Open the Bible. Read. Dad, I don't get it. We'll figure it out. But this home, we read the Bible. This home, we pray. We call on God. Your kids ought to see you call on God. And after they see you call on God, you better expect that they're going to see you living that testimony. Because if you call on God, oh God, save my children, and then you go and live in a different way. Brothers, lead. Don't pray for your children only. Lead your children, lead your wives, and pray for them as well. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I really didn't think I'd be preaching this hard. Okay. Jesus, he's the main center of attraction, the main center of thought, the main center of life. No life can come any other way but through Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to thee for the goodness of Jesus Christ, who is the center of love. He says, Lord, let Christ be the center of attraction, and we'll praise thee for it in humbleness and bow our heads in humility, giving thee all praise. In Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham says, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do. He says, what is the new birth then? He comes around and he says, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation the church was built upon. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I don't have joy in my life. Okay, but he is joy. He is everything that's good and everything that's wonderful. And if you say, I have the new birth, I have Christ in me, and I am the complete revelation of Christ, then you should have joy in your life. And if you don't, you should question the other. I'm not making you doubt your salvation, but maybe you have to pray like David did, who at one time said, God, the center, God, my exceeding joy, and at another time had to say, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Come on, somebody. So let's sanctify ourselves. Let's sanctify our homes so we can recognize the joy of God. Amen. You know, I realized one day I was praying and I was thinking, God, I feel like I'm so selfish because, Lord, I want to be in the millennium because of all the good things that are going to be there. And I feel like that's selfish. I feel like that's almost carnal. Like, I want to be in the millennium because it's going to be wonderful, cool streams, and, you know, how just peaceful and great it's going to be, and everything's going to be good and lovely. And I'm like, yeah, duh, of course I want to be there. Like, but yeah. I'm going to create paradise. Do you want to come? Yes. Why? Because that sounds amazing. And I'm like, God, but that's just me being selfish, isn't it? Because, like, I'm not even thinking about you. Like, it's amazing that you'll be there too, but really, I still want to be there. And God came and he said, you know what? Ask yourself a question. Why is the millennium going to be so wonderful? Why is it going to be good? Why is it going to be holy? Why is it going to be wonderful? Well, God, because you created it that way, because that's who you are. He said, yeah.
You want that because you want me. And everything that you want that's good and wonderful and joyful, you want because it's Him. And that's the source of our joy. Because truly, when it comes down to it, everything that is good, wonderful, righteous, holy, lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. Why? Because we're thinking on Christ. Because that's who all of those things are. And I want the millennium because I want His character. Amen. Christ in you makes Him the center of the revelation. It's Christ in you. Brother Branham says, any person that's ever born again of the Spirit of God, I truly believe with all my heart, desires to separate from the things of the world. I believe that. We have joy. Such a joy comes over our hearts to know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Our spirit bears record with God's Spirit that we're sons and daughters of God. And what a joy we have in doing that. And that is the earnest of our complete victory when Jesus comes, that even death itself will flee. Amen. It's not just an outward demonstration of emotions. It's not just inward emotions. But this, I tell you today, Christ is the center of joy. He's the center of attraction. He is everything that is good and wonderful. If you want joy in your life, just pursue Christ and forsake everything else. And you will be the happiest person ever. Why? Because you want to be happy? Well, hey, I'll take it how it comes. But I think at some point in time, you'll realize it's not about your happiness anymore. But because He's so great. Because you've learned so much about Him. And He has just changed your world like you never thought it'd be changed. Amen? But each day, Brother Branham says, those children of Israel gathered new manna. They had joy. They had peace. He says, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I had joy, peace, long-suffering. What about now? That experience back there is done, gone. What about a new one today? Each day they gathered new manna. Each day, brothers and sisters, gather manna and let it produce joy. Gather true joy every day. I wrote something many, many years ago. Maybe this will kind of bring it full circle. What kind of things give you joy? Fields of flowers? Chocolates, musicians can come. Fields of flowers, chocolates, peaceful streams, new car, new clothes, getting married, having kids, tucking the kids in at night, mountains, fishing, hunting, shopping, blue skies, laughter, friends. Nothing. Will ever compare to what this verse describes. Jude verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now I often wonder, whose joy is exceeding there? Is it my joy or is it His joy? And I can read that scripture both ways. Because it's talking that He is going to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, you can attribute that to everything He's just been doing, or you can attribute that to what He's been doing. But I know that when we're there and He presents us faultless, that the thing that God had in His mind will come to full completion. And I believe that's going to give God exceeding joy. And me being a part of that, that's going to give me exceeding joy. I don't want to wait till that day because the earnest of my salvation now is joy, happiness, and contentment. Can words describe that day, standing faultless before the presence of His glory? No wonder we'll have exceeding joy. Because guess what it's going to be again? The children in Eden one more time. Faultless. Were Adam and Eve faultless? Yeah, they were faultless. Faultless. Every day He comes down, tucks them in at night. That's where I'm headed to. That's where I'm headed to. And I want as much of that earnest as I can get now. I want to get everything out of the way because I want joy in my life. Brothers and sisters, we can have it. Can we go get it? Can we let go of everything else? I pray that we see that there's things in our life that we keep a hold of that are actually restricting our joy. And I want to just kick those things out of our house. Why? Why? I mean, Brother Branham, you know, we can go through the message and we can find all kinds of things that we could just pin ourselves to the floor with that we do that he told us we shouldn't do, and we say we're believers. And I could just say, stop doing it because it's wrong, the prophet said. And that'd be good, and that'd be fine, and that's all true. But there's a reason that he did it, and it's because of joy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to experience him, and those things don't do it. So let's have faith. Let's believe. And let's do it. Amen?
Amen.
I have no idea what to sing. Anything on your heart, brother? You're the musician. That sounds great.
And no, my heart today.
Thirteen, if you don't know it like I don't. Look at the words of that last verse, number 16. Jesus. Father, it was the intention of my heart to encourage this church to make us just want to get really happy and joyful in the things of the Lord. And Father, I feel like I yelled at them to death, Father. But Lord, you take it and do what you had planned all along with it, Father. And Lord, let it not return void. Lord, may it let revival be sparked in each and every heart. May we consider the things that you've spoken to us today, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, I know that you're looking for a joyous church without spot or wrinkle. Father, those two things are tied together. We understand joy and without spot or wrinkle go together. We can't have spots and wrinkles in our garments, Lord, and expect that we have joy as well, because we know that'll disappoint you. So Father, may we clean our garments. May we clean our homes. May we rejoice at the restoration of that coin. May we rejoice in the wonderful things of God being done in our lives. May we rejoice in the presence of God in our homes and in our lives, Father. Send joy in our hearts, Lord God. Father, we want to take just a moment and thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus Christ, that you came, you inhabited a body. You paved the way back by dying on the cross. You shed your blood for our sins and for our sickness, for our healing. God, you ripped the keys of death and hell away. We're not condemned anymore. We don't have to die anymore. God, you justified us freely. Lord, you've forgiven us of everything. You throw them in the sea of forgetfulness, and it's as though we've never even done it now, Lord. God, can we meditate on that for a while and let that just produce the joy in our hearts that it truly ought to produce. Father, we love you. We praise you, Father. Lord, let the people know it wasn't my intention that we all become legalistic and strict and never enjoy ice cream or never enjoy the things that you've blessed us with. But Father, may our eyes be focused on the pursuit of you and you alone. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. As we've said, Lord, we're the blessed people that ever walked on the face of this earth, Father. That we can even talk about ice cream as producing joy in our lives and use that as an example shows that every single one of us has had way more ice cream than we probably ever should have had. But Father, thank you, Lord. I've enjoyed it. But Lord, I know it's nothing compared to the joy that you bring and your presence, Father. May we just place it right in our hearts. Place it right in our minds and in our lives, Lord. That's our desire, Father. Oh, Lord, may you give us more fresh revelation every day so that we can truly say, Lord, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. May we have that kind of relationship with you, oh God. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Brother Ford.
Well, that was wonderful. It was, a couple things that I needed reminding of, and I'm sure we all benefited greatly from that. I feel led to sing this song because it goes right along with it. It's none of the songs you're thinking of, but I think the Sunday school children will enjoy it. I don't know what key it's in, but I think we should stand and try to sing this because we know that joy is not down in the freezer. Joy is in our hearts. So I think we can all sing this, and it should make us joyous at the same time. Amen. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 down in my heart, down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Oh, I'm so happy, so very happy, 'cause I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. Oh, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Oh, I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
It's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. It's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee.
Help me out.
Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. The Lord set my soul on fire. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Just make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising.
Church. Hopefully we'll come back tonight with a little more joy in our hearts. Amen. I'm asked Brother Luke if he dismisses us in prayer.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, for such a wonderful service, Lord, this morning, Lord. And just speaking to our hearts, Lord, and Lord, just if there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't have that joy in you, Lord, we just pray that you give that to them, Lord. And Father, just we pray that you restore the salvation, Lord, the joy of our salvation, Lord, back to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we just seek you, Lord, each hour, Father, of the day, Father, just having a fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, allow us to be a light, Father, that when people see us, Lord, that they don't see someone that's sad and miserable, Lord, but they see someone that's happy, Father. Happy for the life that they have, Lord, but that they see you, Lord, through all that, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you go with us now, Lord. Bring us back to the appointed time, Lord, this evening, Father. We can just see you again, Lord, and worship, Father, and praise your holy name. We thank you and give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Let's sing that little chorus as we go.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit.